Wafting across the pastoral vistas of the new basement studios by the lake, this is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, 3,000 miles of opinion.
This is Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric.
Down in new basement studios by the lake, this is part two of the 2016 Christmas special.
Yeah.
And to be entirely fair on everyone, we sort of hinted it at the end of the last show. We record these things back to back.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't...
Well, otherwise, we'd lose our continuity. We'd forget what we said.
Plus, I'm not...
And we still might forget what we
plus
said.
Plus, I'm not buying another set of batteries for my flashing Christmas sweater.
Yeah,
and again, this is the only time I'm going to wear this thing. So I'm wearing it for 2 hours on the show and then probably regifting it.
This covers us through the end of the new year. Our next episode after this will presumably be recap of last year's new year resolutions.
Yeah, I have some on location coverage.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, but we'll talk about that.
Anyway, we'll cover that then. So right now what we're doing is won't do the whole explanation again, but we're going through the catalogs you get in there, and using them as a springboard for gifts to give each other, but not actually give each other, but talk about giving each other, because there wasn't any way. Last episode I mentioned giving you quote-unquote a field desk that was $2,000 essentially, and
I wouldn't really
do that.
But if you did,
thought counts, right? Isn't it? Literally just the thought counts.
But I think I made this point on the last show and about Christmas in general. If you gave that to me, I'd be like, wow, that's really, really cool. But I'm not sure I would use it.
Yeah, well, because you don't do a lot of international travel.
I travel.
Yeah.
Travel in my car. You have to travel. You don't need a field desk. You don't have to be traveling to different countries to use a field desk.
Oh, I think you got to at least go. You have to go somewhere exotic with your field desk. Which actually takes us in the direction of the first gift I'm going to give you, because I of course arrange more gifts for you than you arrange for me, because you don't like giving gifts.
Yeah, I don't really do Christmas.
The first one I want to talk about, and it's actually going to mention two catalogs here, but the one I am actually getting you a gift from is the National Geographic holiday catalog. Now, the National Geographic, their catalog looks like the magazine with the yellow border and et cetera, but there's really no risk you would mistake this for the catalog.
Can I interrupt you for one moment?
Yeah.
When you produced that, when we did prep for the show, that was the first time I was aware of the fact that National Geographic was selling things other than the magazine.
Right, right.
And again, you've just said that the catalog looks like the magazine with the famous yellow border, and it does. It looks like an edition of the magazine. But I didn't know National Geographic sold stuff.
Yeah, well, even closer to the mark, Smithsonian puts out a magazine. Smithsonian, of course, is the institute. There's the federal. It's
America's museums is how I always look at it.
It's a governmental organization, right? You know, so... they put out a catalog. Now, they put the magazine. Their catalog really looks like the magazine. So when this first came, I actually thought it was the magazine. I put it in a stack, you know, and all the mail comes. Yeah. Oh, there's the magazines kind of thing, because we get a Smithsonian magazine.
Because you're well-cultured.
Well, I think you pay, to be a Smithsonian member, which gets you into museums easier or something. I don't know how it works.
Yeah, because you don't pay to get in anyway.
So these catalogs, though, National Geographic, at least, is a commercial endeavor. And so I'm not surprised they have this catalog. The Smithsonian one's a little weirder because, again, it's got this governmental tie. We're not going to talk anything other than mentioning they have a catalog. And effectively, you know, what these catalogs have.
I don't know. I think if you work for the government and with the new guy coming in, you need to show that you're making money in your department, or you're going to be in danger of getting the chop. So National Geographic, what sort of things do they sell in general?
Well, that's the thing. That's what I was saying. It's all...
Do they sell whales of the Kalahari?
It's got sections that are clearly oriented around cultural types of things. And so the gift I'm going to give you is a culturally oriented gift. So, you know, it's got a section where it's Irish stuff. So they got Irish sweaters and a Donegal tweed cap and a cane. And
so tat.
The Shut the Box game, which is apparently some seafaring game.
Oh, really?
It has various categories like that. But other parts are just outdoorsy clothes.
Can you hit me with some prices of some of this stuff? I don't know. Pick the Donegal sweater.
Yeah, the hat is $75. Tweed cap is $75. The walking stick's $59. The tweed pullover sweater, you know, one of those half zip type of things, that's $139. So it's not cheap, but it's also not the crazy price.
No, it's not crazy. And again, it's very interesting when you talk about the tweed cap there. I was looking, I've always wanted to get a tweed cap. I used to have one when I was a young man living in East London.
This one's like a patchwork. I wouldn't want that one.
But I looked on, you know, being an Amazon guy, I looked on Amazon and found different manufacturers, anything from $35 to $100 for a nice tweed cap. So, my point being, doesn't it appear to me that National Geographic are, you know, to use a sheep analogy, looking to fleece you? I mean, the price is maybe a little higher, but they're competitive.
It's
the sweater looks nice. I mean, you can easily pay that from, you know, a regular company who are in like an Orvis or not, maybe not one of the department stores, but you're going to look to drop three figures for a nice sweater from someone.
See, I think the strange thing about it, or it's not strange, but it devalues its currency, so to speak. You know, when people have some of these possessions, these exotic possessions, or even the sweater, you know, that you a legitimate Irish sweater, usually it signified you went out there and got it. You know, you had some connection to these things.
Yep,
or now, if National Geographic is selling all these things and you can just get them, you're not really an adventurer if you just buy things from a catalog.
But
I feel like it's a little bit of a... And what happens if everybody can get these... I'm going to give you your gift because it's a good launching point for this. It is a Tibetan chime of compassion, which I just thought was a suiting thing for you because I think you need a little chime of compassion.
Oh, because I need compassion I need compassion to be towards other people? Because I know I can be a bit abrasive.
It's the latter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the inscribed with one of the most significant mantras in Buddhism... Om Mani Padme Hum, which I'm sure is not the right way to pronounce it.
It's actually Om Padme Hum.
Yeah, exactly. This chime is handcrafted by Tibetan refugees in northern India. Buddhists believe that, let's come back to that in a second, Buddhists believe that saying this mantra invokes the blessings of Buddha of compassion.
Dong.
So you know,
that's what
it gets you more compassionate because you're playing it. And it basically is like a little bell, like a cymbal hanging from a cord with a little stick that you tap it and go ting, I'm sure. It says, cast from a combination of metals, the hand-tuned chime produces a clear tone, brass stand with wooden base and striker. It's 8.5 inches high. So, small, you know.
Yeah, it's not
a National Geographic exclusive, $60.
Oh, that's a lot. I mean, I appreciate your generosity, but that's a lot of money. And frankly, what price compassion?
But the handcrafted by Tibetan refugees. Yeah. Refugees, not just Tibetans, but rather folks who are been left out of their homes are going building this chime for Americans.
That's why
to buy the chime of compassion.
Okay, so this is where we come.
If it turns out that $60 is $55 of benefits to them,
yeah.
But somehow I don't believe that's the case.
No, and this is where the rubber meets the road with the National Geographic catalog. And I don't have a pop at National Geographic. We'll tweet them and give them some love.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something slightly. Scam is the wrong word.
No, that's what I mean. It's a little
with this.
Like, do I feel good about buying this? Do I not feel good? And plus, it triggers what I was talking about, which is this should be something that you had to travel to a far flung. You should have to earn
there.
This a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, I got one there.
Not just buying it from the catalog and get shipped to you in 2 days by UPS.
This is the interesting thing about the National Geographic catalog, and I actually had that.
Oh, I just noticed the title says "Gifts That Give Back."
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so I guess that means... Well, read... Well, can you read some of the other
ones? This page
also
has a Bulgarian hand-painted casserole dish.
So who's built it? Bulgarian refugees?
Artisans use needles and fingertips to create patterns. So this one doesn't say, like, it may not be made by Bulgarians.
See, this is an interesting thing.
A silk sari hat and scarf. Nepal's Kathmandu Valley takes scraps of silk left over from production of saris and weave them into a uniquely textured yarn. And then Black Forest mini cuckoo clocks.
Yeah, and you know something?
It's the Black Forest of Germany need help.
And that's what I'm about to say.
Every one of these products is almost the same price.
If you live there in the Black Forest, you're probably not hurting. You're not hurting at the same level as the Tibetan refugee country is, the guys are, where you're already a refugee from a country that frankly doesn't have a lot of infrastructure to start off with, and you're now a refugee from that country. Whereas the Black Forest dudes, everyone comparatively probably quite well off there. You're driving at least the Volkswagen. So, you know, life's
the
quite
cuckoo
good.
The cuckoo clocks take two AA batteries too, so I'm going to imagine this is not a traditional construction.
No, it's not. Here's the interesting thing about the National Geographic catalog. And we talked, I mean, I said, yeah, I was looking for a tweed cap. You know, I would wear a Donegal sweater. But if I'm the sort of person who's going to pay that kind of money, I'd like to think that I probably wouldn't be buying it from National Geographic. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I buy expensive shoes. Mm-hmm. I like buying good old-fashioned English leather shoes that I will keep forever, take them down to the cobblers, he can replace the soles, all that type of thing. I will buy them from the places. What I will not do is find them in the National Geographic, get a taste of walking through the fields of Ireland with these shoes. I wouldn't buy them from there.
Right.
And so that's the interesting thing about it. The catalog just seems oddly oddly placed within the marketplace.
Yeah.
I have a friend, a fan of the show, Amy. I'm going to give her a shout out. She works with me. That's why she's a fan of the show. She has no choice but to sort of listen. She has on her desk one of those little Japanese sand pits with a little plastic rake. And you can you rake the sand, and it's supposed to be
Zen garden.
I would assume that the Tibetan symbol of compassion or whatever it's called is supposed to have the same effect.
Yeah. Although, as I think about it, the garden, that's a quiet endeavor. If basically you had this in your office and people were hearing you repeatedly going ting.
Oh, drive other people bananas.
Or they would know, listen, you'd have a bad day. You could just count up the number of times the bell goes off. Zeph really appears to need some compassion. He's like,
we need to get one. Well, how much was it again?
$69.
Ooh, that's a bit steep considering that the bell.
Oh, you can use it instead of the bell. Yeah.
But you know something? I got a bell from eBay for $3.50. Yeah. So at the end of the day, if all you're doing is making a noise, we're going with a bell. Well, thank you.
We might
feel
more compassion.
Nice.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to mention that National Geographic brought to mind, for some reason we haven't gotten this catalog recently, maybe we haven't bought anything out of it, was National Geographic does travel things. Prepackaged trips to exotic locales, and then you can go buy your own Tibetan bell of compassion. National Geographic expeditions. But the thing that was always, it was like a big catalog with a binding on it. It would tell you all these trips coming up, and it's got,
because it's legit, boat related,
you know, fly here and do a trip in a locality. But the ones that always blew our mind here in the household were the private jet related ones. So National Geographic has its own jet, a Boeing 757. It's configured for 77 travelers, so obviously a lot less, and I think it's got like beds and things
like
that.
Nice, yeah. It's executive.
Generous seating allows excellent access to experts and it says special 2x2 configuration. Instead of normally having 233 seats, it has 77 passengers. VIP seating, leather seating.
Nice.
It's got a 5-to-1 crew to traveler ratio.
Really?
It's got, I think the idea, so you can take it on these trips, which I got to go to another link for that.
Well, it's part of your holiday.
You know, so the, where is it? Private jet travel trips, epic experiences, far-flung places. So like Africa by private jet for 20 days. What do you think that cost a head?
$20,000?
$81,000.
Oh, hello.
And then there's some that, let's see, the longest one appears to be, about 24 days around the world. And so I think what they do with some of these is you go visit a country. You get in the plane and you sleep while it flies overnight.
Yeah.
You land at your new locale and you can go out there and do whatever
it is. You're just ferrying back onto your hotel.
I mean, that's an amazing thing. Although, when I've looked at like the around the world by private jet thing, you know, it gives you like a day in Vietnam. Well, you can't go to Vietnam for a day. I mean, like you'd have to do a regular
vacation. What was the first one that you talked about there that was 80 grand?
Yeah.
So how many days is that?
Let's check on that. That was 20 days. I've lost the link.
Is that all included?
I'm sure it includes all the food and stuff, but
I'm gonna hit you up. I'm gonna throw you something here. I don't know. I normally, you know, when I travel places, I'm either Airbnb-ing, as I did this summer with friend of the show Cameron. I'm staying with family. I'm staying in a Motel 6 as long as it's got free HBO. I would imagine in the last show I discussed the Dorchester Hotel back in London.
Mm-hmm.
Now I would imagine that's gonna run you somewhere to stay in a nice room there, you're looking at dropping $600-$700 a night at least.
Sure. Yeah, and with slightly aided by Brexit.
Yeah. If you're going on one of these holidays for 20 days, that breaks down to what? A couple of grand a day?
Yeah.
I don't think...
It's not $4,000 a day per person.
If it's all included... That's and obviously, we can't afford it because our show doesn't have that many listeners that would allow us to afford one of these holidays.
But, you know, if you feel like starting to fund.
But pass it on to your buddies.
GoFundMe. Get a GoFundMe website.
It doesn't feel that expensive.
Well, for what it is. I mean, being getting flown around in a private jet for 20 days.
3 weeks of vacation.
You know,
private jet, international travel. You know, very exclusive. A jet that normally seats 250 is only configured for 70. I'm like, that's pretty good. And you're going across the world, and I'm sure, you know, you're not getting out on your own, and then you're having to buy your own bottle of water in the terminal. Do you know what I mean?
So that trip, just to give you a sense of the travel, it's you start a couple of days in. You either come from Portugal to the U.S., I don't know why that is. But then you go to the Serengeti plain for 3 days. Then you go to Madagascar for 3 days. Then you go to South Africa and the winelands for 3 days. Then you go another part of South Africa for 1 day. I think you're just going through Johannesburg. Then Namibia for 1 day. The Okavango Delta in Botswana for 2 days. Rwanda for 3 days. And then back. So, you know, you're talking about seven flights, eight flights, I guess. No, more than that. You know, like 10 flights on a private 757. So, yeah, you
I'll
end up
with the price. It doesn't feel to me, frankly, I'll be fair. I'm going to say this, and some of you out there might disagree with me.
I'm not getting you this gift, by the way.
That's okay. Some of you might out there might disagree with me, because it is, when you just look at it in isolation, that is a lot of money for a holiday. But my point is, if you are at this point, if you're in that strata where you're taking 3 week holidays and you're looking to do all kinds of international travel, I'm not entirely convinced that that's an unreasonable price. Frankly, to be fair, the Tibetan symbol of compassion, that's more of a ripoff.
Right, relative
the
to
Donegal
value.
Sweater that's basically 25% markup on a very base, am I getting my value?
Yeah.
Those other things are more of a ripoff than that.
Yeah, well,
I don't think it's a ripoff. And I even throwing that word in there, I feel a bit mean.
Yeah. The other thing I want to mention about when it comes to vacations is, you know, I was thinking about holiday vacations generally. It's obviously not related to National Geographic, but, you know, some people go places for the Christmas holiday. I've never done that, like, go on a vacation to something for Christmas time. I mean, it's too much of a family thing. Have you ever done that?
No, I haven't. And frankly, I don't like traveling at the holidays full stop.
It's not as bad as Thanksgiving, because you can do it on different days. But, like, you know, if you...
But just the act of travel at this time of year, just the whole stress level just goes higher, and I don't like stress. And no, I kind of like waking up in my own bed, and sure, it's a day off. Holidays have always been a day off to me, rather than a... I don't know. I'm not going to keep going there, because I'm struggling to...
We violently agree on this point, so it's not really that.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question, though. Your Christmas habits, do you enjoy having Christmas? I'm just talking about Christmas Day.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you enjoy being at home more, or do you feel like if you have to get in the car and go to grandma's, is that more of a hassle?
Well, I've
let's
never
say grandma
had to,
is local.
Yeah, I've never had to do that, because we're either at far-flung family members, and so we're doing everything there.
Okay.
I've never had to do the bit where you have two steps in the Christmas Day. I guess when I was a kid, I did, you know, and went to grandma's, and I didn't mind that. That was all right. I mean, the whole point of just being able to roll up and put on your family matching pajamas like we're going to get you.
The onesies, yeah.
We thought about getting that for this year just for the fun of it, so everybody'd have to come out in the onesies.
And I would wear it at dinner.
Yeah.
Just to show what a good sport I am, someone who really doesn't get Christmas.
But, you know, that's the part that matters, is the morning of, assuming you're a morning gift-giving family, and of course you might be a Christmas Eve gift-giving family, in which case all bets are off. But
yeah, I don't. I try not
but
to
the morning
gifts.
Thing, cup
it's
of coffee.
Too expensive. Spend that money on myself.
Some Christmas type food. We always had some Swedish cheeses and crackers and things
for
like
breakfast.
That when I was a
kid. I do like that. Christmas is an excuse to eat things at breakfast that you might
reminds
not
me. I need to
normally
get that weird dark brown Swedish cheese that we usually have. I got to find that in the next week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll try that come Christmas time.
Technically, you're all listening to this afterwards, so I've either succeeded or failed.
Yes.
At the time I'm saying this into the microphone, I have not gotten the cheese yet.
All right, so that's that one. That's a very, very generous.
Again, I wasn't giving you that. I was going to give you the Tibetan chime of freedom. Chime of compassion.
Very generous.
What's for me? Come on, give me a present.
Well, I got a bit out of order here, actually. So I'm now going to go to, because I do, how far are we in the show? I was going to give you something from Eddie Bauer, but I've actually blown my Eddie Bauer story.
What was the Eddie Bauer story?
Well, no, the Eddie Bauer story, when I told the story about the Dorchester Club.
Oh, was that your Eddie Bauer?
Well, no, because I was going to get you something from the Eddie Bauer catalog. Well, I was going to get you a hat. Let me find it here. I didn't turn over the page. It was a nice woolly hat, and it had rate. And I need to get it because I thought it was kind of interesting. It was this funny sort of middle ground. And as I skim through here, let me try and describe it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a woolly hat. Here you go. It's a woolly hat, but more like a bobble hat.
Yeah, yeah, like with the pom-pom on top.
Yeah, and it has Eddie Bauer on it, and then it just has reindeer on it. But it's in black and white. And I thought that was an interesting decision.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I've always sort of railed a bit.
They're going against your reds and your greens.
Well, no, this is my point. I have railed on the notion of stuff that's just a one-off Christmas stuff. this black and white Eddie Bauer hat seems to be caught in this weird sort of, you know,
well, it's just a winter hat,
demilitarized zone of it's neither Christmas, but if you wore that in the snow in March, I guarantee someone would go, oh, you're still wearing your Christmas hat. So you know, my question for you is, would you wear that hat away from Christmas? The red and white one, no, I get it. That's a Christmas hat. But Eddie Bauer flogging the same hat.
Look, can we assume it doesn't say Eddie Bauer on it? Because I'm not wearing a hat that has Eddie Bauer around the top like a band like that. Let's assume a hat like that without Eddie Bauer
printed around it. Okay, I'll give you that.
I would wear either one of those hats anytime during the winter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a red hat. It's a red hat. It's fine. I imagine they're selling the black and white hat because you ever notice...
I'm not spending $35 on a hat. You must be joking.
Just promised to give it to me. What?
What's that phrase? Look at these bobble hats are nicer. I think they're also cheaper too. No, they're all the same price. Let me ask you a question. We've had this discussion before. You're not a scarf man, are you?
Nah, not really. What about
those one piece ones that are all one
piece? Infinity scarf? Isn't that like for
what are they ladies? Them? No, but guys wear them too.
Not that I know of.
A loop scarf. Remember back a couple of years ago, there was this controversy because all the Premiership football, a snood. Remember, it was like a thing that you put around your neck.
Okay.
And all the Premiership.
A snood is like a skull cap that. People wear.
Maybe I'm getting confused. It was about 4 or 5 years ago. All the Premier League players were wearing them.
Is that like the Survivor buff?
No, it was like a headband, but you wore it around your neck, so it was tight.
That's just like the buffs. No,
buff is like a handkerchief, isn't
it? No. They're like those
hanky
things.
Hats. Would you? But you wouldn't wear one of those? I mean, yeah. I wouldn't wear one of those, but I like...
Well, you wear your Shabin thing, whatever.
The Shamak, yeah. That's because that's worn by the Special Forces. It's not a scarf. It's an all-purpose cloth. That you use if you can fight in the desert in it, but you can also keep you warm if you're fighting the Russians up in the
Arctic. It's a very fancy scarf.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, yeah, I got all out of order. So, but again, I don't really do Christmas.
Well, I think
so
the black and white hat is probably because, you know, we live in an area that is
it's
not overly urbane. So people wear colored jackets here. In London and New York City, like you ever noticed
colored jackets?
I mean, your winter coat might be red or it might have a blue in it or something like that. But you look, the folks who are in New York City and the folks who are in London, it's nothing but black and dark blue. Because I guess it's not cool to wear like a colorful wintertime jacket.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the soccer, like the soccer I find fascinating, the English, they're wearing these jerseys.
Yeah,
when it's, you know, the seasonal thing, so they got their colors on. But then when it ever gets cold, it's nothing but gray. It's the same as like Giants football games look the same way because everybody who's there just wears it. Nobody's going to have a bright blue jacket, other than I guess if you had a Giants jacket. But they're not as colorful as they are in our less hipster area. But I imagine the black and white hat is designed.
Do you know what
it's
come
from?
People
who don't want to wear a red hat. A red hat would be gauche.
Well, you see, I'm gonna throw a theory out there as to why back in Europe, especially in the UK, that's our decision. Remember, we all wear school uniform as a kid. Now, I went to a private school, so I had a school uniform. But many of the state-funded schools, you have to wear school uniform. And if you're at a school that has school uniform, you are sent guidelines.
Oh, right. You can't kind of...
And it's always... consistent. You have to wear dark or sober colors. So by extension... I have some footwear. Now, I know sneakers are a slightly different thing. You know those, the soccer trainers, the sort of the suede
Gazelles
ones?
Gazelles or, you know, various brands like Sambas.
I have six different colors. I've got green, black, gray, brown. I'm actually wearing a green pair right now. I have a blue pair that I like, and I was out shopping, or I was accompanying other people who were Christmas shopping, because obviously I wasn't shopping myself, because I don't really give presents. And I'm in the store and they're getting something and I'm wandering around. I'm like, ooh, I like those red Gazelles. And yet when it comes to my dress shoes, I only wear black, brown, or Cordovan.
Other things you're going to wear is dress shoes.
Yeah, but I'm not going to buy like casual shoes in some crazy color.
You just did.
Well, no, but that's sneakers. That's athletic shoes.
That counts as a casual shoe in the modern world.
Fair enough. But anyway, that was always the guidance when I was a kid. You need to have a sweater of a dark or sober color because that was your uniform guidelines. Hence, now as an adult, I struggle to express.
So now that you took back that gift, how many gifts you got left? I want to sort of line up.
No, I didn't take it back. You rejected it. You said I'm not wearing anything with Eddie Bauer on it.
No. See, you asked me whether I would wear it. you know, like...
No, but you would ask
me whether I'd wear it outside of the Christmas season. I was just pointing out that if I had my druthers, it wouldn't say Eddie Bauer on it. I'm not going to turn down your gift. I'm a nice fella.
Okay. I would.
I know.
I would re-gift it next Christmas.
We're going to give you a chime of compassion.
You have a question about the Eddie Bauer catalog?
Well, no. What do you got left in terms of your numbers? Because I want to talk about clothes.
I've got a couple in the...
Two things?
Yeah, I think I've got two here.
All right, so...
One is All Out Christmas, and then one... It's going to blow your mind that I'm going to give you this.
Eddie Bauer, I want to talk about clothing catalogs generally. There appear to be... There's different segments of catalogs, and we're now getting these catalogs that I've never heard of these brands before, and they're not the same. It's not like we were talking about the What on Earth catalog, where it seems like it's literally the same stuff packaged in a different cover. But they all seem to fit this particular segment where they're trying to price above the Eddie Bauers of the world.
Okay.
But they're, you know, like, so... I got three catalogs here, all of which to me are sort of the same in some
way. I like my clothing, so...
True Measure of the Man. Ever heard of that?
No.
Seen the store? No, of course not. First of all, True Measure of the Man, of a man, it seems like a very challenging type of thing. Like, you know, if you don't buy from this catalog, you're no man.
Yes.
This is the True Measure of a Man. And then there's another one, Carbon to Cobalt, which I actually have been given some things from Carbon to Cobalt.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
What does carbon to cobalt mean?
I mean, they're both elements.
Of the earth. So. Well, that's what I'm saying. Is there something about it? It was clothing.
Yeah, and it's not... It's casual clothing, but it's upscale casual clothing, as is the True Measure of the Man. Maybe slightly different, but same segment. And there's another one called 32 Bar Blues. Noteworthy goods for... Oh, it's just a Christmas catalog. But it's, again, they all seem to me to be the sort of the same thing. And they're all selling shirts that are, like... This is very clearly like a flannel shirt.
Yep.
Casual shirt. Nice looking flannel shirt for $98.
Oh, forget that. Let me get it from Eddie Bauer.
Yeah, exactly. So
even if it has Eddie Bauer engraved on the pocket, I would wear it.
We could find another flannel shirt from True Measure of the Man. This one's not flannel.
Let me ask you a question about...
Casual. It's $128.
Let me ask you about True Measure of a Man. And I'm going to be very literal about True Measure of a Man. Is it tailored stuff? Like, do you get most times when you buy something in a catalog, it's just small, medium.
Yeah, that's what these are. You know, they're not.
Because if their gimmick was, we have 15 sizes instead of the standard 6, or you can custom, I want a large shirt, but because I am fat, but with short arms, I want a short sleeve. That would be the True Measure of your clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I see.
Did you know what I mean?
I see you're using that measure
bought,
word there.
Yeah, because you've bought tailored, or at least made to measure shirts. I've had tailored articles of clothing from my good friends on Savile Row.
Yeah, and to be honest, my prefab type fitted shirts, they were not really any more than these final shirts.
And so I'm just interested, if you're going to use those, so
these
words,
are good to get as gifts, because you're not spending, I wouldn't buy this type of shirt for myself.
Do these companies, do they exist? Do they have storefront? Do you know?
Not to
I've
my
never
knowledge,
heard of that.
You know?
Cobalt, so the carbon. I've never heard of that.
They are purely cataloged. I don't know if we investigated this further, we would find they were all linked in some fashion, but they all feel like they're in a similar... Look, this is interesting, right? So I'm pulling up True Measure Man and Carbon and Cobalt. Carbon and Cobalt, like, if you look at the back of the catalogs, the one is Jones Way, Oxnard, California, and the other one's in Carpinteria.
Yeah, same company, and it,
you know, like,
different storefront.
It seems like it's very similar.
It's like one of those scams.
Look at that. Look at that one. 32 Bar Blues has the same address as True Measure of the Man.
Have you ever seen JFK?
We just investigated live. Detective Mike.
Thank you.
Detective Mike. You're fired.
No. Because we've done it for you.
Detective Mike sent us a nice picture of him holding a Atlantic Voice podcast.
Yeah, I want to get a shout out.
Improvised Explosive Dave.
Which also means Movie Richard, you need to send us a selfie, mate, of you drinking out of your cup, because you've got one as well. Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever seen the movie JFK? The Oliver Stone...
I haven't seen it, but I know. I mean, it's what to know.
It's the Oliver Stone conspiracy movie. Where Kevin Costner is investigating the murder of the president, President Kennedy. And he believes there is a conspiracy. And he figures out that, what's his name, Lee Harvey Oswald, was working for the CIA, because there was some building in New Orleans where it was the same building, but it was two different street addresses. So therefore, that was his evidence that, look, it was the same place. Clearly, he was working for his CIA handler, because it was the same building, but he was using multiple mailing addresses. Now, I don't want to suggest for a moment that either Carbon or Cobalt or these other guys were involved in assassinating President Kennedy, but it does seem a little odd.
Maybe, yeah. Coincidence, but that's what I'm saying. I think not.
There did seem to be a whole load of countries. It's like you or I. We end up meeting a guy at the airport or out for drinks one night who's got a contact in Hong Kong. Oh, yeah, I can get your shirts. All of a sudden, well, let's take a flyer and let's try and flog these things. You get some warehouse space on the edge of town, a couple of boxes of shirts, you bung out a catalog, you're trying to move some up. Yeah. It does feel this way. Because, again, neither one of these, they're not selling other people's brands. They're just selling generic, and I've never heard of them.
Yeah, so there's the next catalog.
Because at least Eddie Bauer is selling Eddie Bauer stuff.
A catalog called Territory Ahead.
Oh, girl.
But they're in Connecticut, so I don't think they're the same company. But it is a similar segment, and this one I was going to get you a gift from.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a little, you know, it's another one where I'm challenging you to broaden your casual horizon. So if you take a look at these, I want you to look at them before you look at prices. Okay. This is it's Original Comfort crew neck, and it's got pants. The pants are what I wanted to get you. Would you be caught dead in those? They're like sweatpants, they look like, but they're kind of a weird color, like green and dark blue with a band down the leg.
They
look like pajama pants, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, but they're not pajama pants.
Yeah.
I want my pajama pants to look like pajamas.
Read the circled part and see what the price is of those pants.
Relaxed fit. Soft and beefy, 300 gram cotton is sand washed for a lived in feel. Full elastic waist with contrast draw cord and two side and two back pockets.
I mean, it's basically a pair of sweatpants, you know, like lounge pants.
Faux fly, yeah.
And what does it go for? I love the faux fly, by the way. So you didn't want to have a real fly, so you faked a fly in the front.
Yeah.
So what's the price on those?
$69.50. Oh my god! But they've got it on as a deal for $64.50.
Yeah, it's quite a discount.
I was about to. I would wear the crew neck shirt, but I wouldn't wear those pants.
Yeah, the pants are the more interesting.
See, that's the interesting thing, because they don't look like sweats. If you wore them out, people would look at you funny, like, what are those pants?
Yeah.
Whereas if you...
The shirt would be fine.
Sometimes I'm lazy at the weekends, and if I can't be bothered, I just go to the coffee shop with my pajama pants on. But I don't have a problem with that.
Is that right?
Because anyone who sees me goes, oh, he's just wearing his pajamas. But if you wear those, people are thinking, well, what is he wearing?
Are you sloppy? Or
yeah.
Like if you own your sloppiness,
yeah.
Then.
And because they're not true sweatpants, you can't go in there going, oh, he must be athletic. I was, to tell you a true story, I was in the shopping mall with a member of my family, and she was getting her phone changed. And I was wearing sneakers. Yeah, she was upgrading her phone.
Yep.
And the guy tried to make conversation with me because I was wearing sweatpants. He goes, oh, are you a runner? And I'm like, no. And he's like, oh. And I'm like, but I'd like to think of myself as athletic. And then that sort of ended the conversation. But again, because I was wearing a brand pair of sweatpants, those things, I don't know what they are. But I don't know what statement you're making about yourself other than you're not brave enough to be one or the other.
Yeah. I'm going to jump right over to one other thing. So then you've got that band. And then you, of course, like along the lines of the camping thing that we mentioned, you've got another level up. So here's a catalog, Williams & Kent. Have you heard of them before?
Sounds vaguely familiar.
It does sound familiar. They're in Georgia. So
okay.
I don't think of the same company.
They make shirts.
But I wanted to get you this.
Dress shirts?
I thought this. It's
dress
dressier.
Clothing? Okay.
It's,
all right.
But what I'm going to get you
is
an Anaconda belt. Genuine Anaconda snakeskin line Nubuck, handcrafted in USA. Even sizes 34 to 44. What do you think a Anaconda skin belt goes for?
Anaconda dope.
There you go. You'd just be happy I'm not getting you the matte python belt. The matte python belt looks a little cheesy because it's all patterned.
You can't wear those in
Anaconda belt actually looks like a nice belt. I don't even know if you'd realize it was Anaconda skin.
Yeah, but the one that looks like a snake...
Yeah.
You can only wear that if you're wearing like cowboy boots or a bolo tie. What I'm saying is if you're wearing a belt that's clearly like the patterns of a snake, your whole like dress motif has to sort of fit into that.
Yeah. Well,
do you know what I mean?
I'm not sure what
otherwise
it is.
You look goofy.
Like whether you should be like a slick Louisiana lawyer. Like you could wear
that's
it with
what I'm
a
saying.
Suit.
But you'd have to have suit,
you'd have to
but
have
you
like,
have to be wearing cowboy boots exactly, or a bolo tie or a cowboy hat.
$238 for the Anaconda belt.
Ooh,
so
that's
I'm
a lot of money.
Sure,
so what I'm saying is if I'm wearing my Anaconda belt, my Eddie Bauer hat, and then my gazelles in red, I'm going to look a little strange.
So that was a quick gift to get you.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you. You've gone all the way in.
I'm really kind of getting through all my gifts there.
Okay,
you've
got a couple left. We are now going to go to the granddaddy of them all, the Hammacher Schlemmer catalog.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I found about four different versions of this catalog out there. One of them was Gifts 2016. Another one was entitled Holiday 2016. This one is Gift Supplement 2016.
Oh, it's a supplement. Like, you know, this is the first one, wasn't it?
I actually went through four different Hammacher Schlemmer catalogs. And other than the fact that all the stuff was in different orders, you can't get anything in one that's not in another.
Yeah.
So there's nothing supplemental about this one. That being said,
it's a supplemental mailing.
That being said, I found two things that I thought would be interesting for you. One was a 6-foot pop-up Christmas tree for $200, and it pops up.
Oh, like 6-foot telescopes.
Yeah.
Like one of those cups you get.
You're a
fake tree.
The fake tree guy.
Yeah.
How long does it take you to get your tree back stored away after Christmas?
It is the least favorite exercise of putting it in there because you gotta like fold up all the branches and you gotta make them flat. It's a good looking artificial tree, but as a result, like each one of the branches needs to be folded a particular way to put away. And I really wish, I'm tempted because I know some other members of our extended family do this, where they just put the tree in a corner downstairs. Like they have enough room, storage room, where they can just put the tree aside without its ornaments. I'm really trying to figure out a way that I could pull that off.
According to this one, it's a 6-foot Christmas tree that pops up instantly, and it is pre-decorated with original artwork by renowned holiday artist Thomas Kincaid.
I hate his stuff.
Well, they do have other ones.
Yeah.
But anyway, when you put it back down, it says the tree collapses just as easily. Now remember, this is a 6-foot tree. The tree collapses just as easily to a mere 5 inches. That's what it says here, and they do show a picture of it, and the little inset picture has it all like stuffed down. And
it must be just like a tent, like with like just the surface of like branches on.
No, according to this, it's got lights that light up, and they have a couple in the Hammer and
Schlemmer. I thought you were gonna get me the
Star Wars
Wookiee.
I'd already got you something for Star Wars, and frankly, that just looks like a brown sweatshirt. There was some other stuff in here, not the big gift I'm going to get you. I did want to talk in here. We have talked much in time about drones. Let me find the page. I might be lying. It actually might be in one of the other Hammer Schlemmer.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, you know,
we talked last year about the drones?
Well, we got to talk about Hammer Schlemmer, too, but we talked a little bit about drones being the thing last year. Well, it appears they are still the thing because the cover of the Hammacher Schlemmer, the cover of the Sharper Image, and the cover of, I think, Brookstone? I think they all have versions of the catalogs that the cover is some version of a drone. So everybody's on and on about the drones, and we've been on and on about...
And it's a proper drone.
Crazy
like, it's not a drone, like I said. I saw the Millennium Falcon drone.
Well, they have drones down to, like, mosquitoes, and like, not literally mosquito size, but little drones that are like 2 inches across to the, these big things with cameras and the like. But which all brings into news, which is, in terms of gift-giving and transfer of Amazon things and stuff, that Amazon has officially made drone deliveries.
We've made one.
Well, that counts.
Okay.
They have two people in Scotland signed up. So two people are eligible to have drone deliveries in Scotland in their nearby fulfillment center. It's within, I forget, it's like 2 miles or something like that. It takes 13 minutes for the drone to make the flight there. And they can carry anything up to 5 pounds, which they said apparently like 80% of their packages are less than 5 pounds. I'm sort of surprised. But like this guy, the first delivery to him was a bag of popcorn.
Yes, I did.
So I imagine they're not quite up to their 5 pound limit just yet. You know, they went with the popcorn. But this drone delivered, and it looked like he had to put a little landing pad. Like it had something that the optics could recognize because this drone is not piloted at all. It's totally automatic. It takes off just by GPS. It knows where it's going. It optically sights where it's supposed to land. It lands and drops the bag of popcorn off. I don't believe this heralds, you know, a widespread use of the drone deliveries yet.
But, no, and I remember if you actually...
They can now claim that they have made an actual... There's a long video you can get from Amazon showing the thing flying over
there. If you go through our own archives, we were talking about Amazon doing deliveries. They first started making this claim about 3 years ago. I think it was back in 2014 because we did a show where it was one of the topics we discussed. I found in the Hammacher Schlemmer catalog, who we are going to talk about momentarily, You can get a live feed video drone for $500. But here's the catch with it, which I thought was a bit surprising. So I've just dropped $500. It's got a megapixel camera in it that captures 720p high definition video, stores it onto a micro SD card. So this is right up your alley.
Mm-hmm.
When you're actually out on the lake by the New Basement Studios, you can send your drone up and take pictures of stuff. This I didn't realize. The drone's rechargeable battery enables up to 7 to 9 minute flights before requiring a 2.5 hour charge.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. I think there's been so much drone talk that my expectations about their practicability and serviceability, when I read that, I'm like, $500 for 7 minutes?
Yeah.
For that, basically 7 minutes of action for every 3 hours?
Yep.
$500? I can get one of those cheesy flying planes from Toys R Us,
mm-hmm.
and you know, one of those little helicopter things, and jimmy rig it somehow with a GoPro that's just as effective. So I was a bit surprised. I'm like, ooh, the drone technology, perhaps. I get it that the drone technology is always in, all the way in if you're like the US Army, yeah. or the Navy, although their drones don't seem to be working very well at the moment because they lost one in China. But
that was an underwater drone.
But what I'm saying is, I still... There seems to be a lot of hype about drones, and every week you can watch TV and someone goes, drone scare at the airport. No one can entirely convinced that the drone industry is as far along as it likes to claim.
Well,
in terms of its accessibility,
the drones are listed in Sharper Image and Hammacher Schlemmer. I'm not sure that they are the peak of... If you were like... That's the kind of thing that somebody gets for you. Again, just what we were talking about, buying gifts. If you were getting a drone for yourself... And you would research it. I'm pretty sure you would not end up buying that one.
I'll give you that. Across the page, though, is the Charlie Brown musical Christmas tree.
Yeah,
I'm going to show you.
Yeah, it's the classic.
That is the saddest thing ever. Well, is that what it was?
Oh my goodness!
I don't know.
Man,
I don't do any of that.
The Christmas tree from the story.
Here's what I don't like about Charlie Brown.
Although then at the very end, they all like bustle around it and it comes out like this beautiful tree. I always thought it was a bit of a stretch.
Here's what I don't like about Peanuts in general, and basically the character of Snoopy. He thinks, but he can't, but he cannot talk. Is that his stick?
Who? Snoopy?
Snoopy.
Yeah, he's a dog. Of course he can't talk.
But he thinks.
Yeah, dogs think.
And I always find that slightly weird. I'm a bit thrown off by that.
He makes that weird noise.
Yeah, but then when you read the cartoons, the little bubbles come up above his head with what he's thinking.
No, he doesn't have that.
Doesn't he?
No.
Ooh.
I don't think so.
Then I take back what I was going to say about Charlie Brown and Snoopy. Please email us.
No, man, he does because he says something about being a vulture,
being the Red Baron, and all this kind of nonsense.
Yeah, but I think you're right. I think because he would do that bit where he would like stalk people. He'd be sitting there like a vulture hanging over their head. And
have you ever seen like on Family Guy, the dog talks and interacts with the other people?
Yeah.
Yogi Bear talks and interacts with the other people.
Yeah, well, see, this is more realistic.
I don't know. Anyway, so that's a quick digression there.
So the Hammacher Schlemmer, let's come back to that, though.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oddly enough, we both, we were doing our research independently, and we both gravitated to the same thing, as we're trying to look up about Hammacher Schlemmer and figure out how do they end up being this company, what it is. And it's a fascinating story.
They are.
Assuming Wikipedia is true, by the way.
They've been around since 1848.
Yeah.
The company provides unique products that solve problems. I don't know about that.
They weren't selling drones in 1848.
No, or represent the only one of their kind. Yeah, I can see that because I don't know how many other people are hawking Charlie Brown musical Christmas trees. Headquarters are based in Niles, Illinois, and they have an annual catalog circulation. Get this, exceeding 50 million.
That's not surprising.
I do challenge the next assertion. The company is employee-owned. That's great. And considered to be a renowned purveyor of gadgetry, okay, and elegant gifts.
Well,
I don't know about that.
So Wikipedia is not perfect. No, you're skipping over some of those. I mean,
that was just
where
the intro.
Where did it come from, 1848? It was a hardware store. Again,
yes.
New York City. Not like obviously went a different direction than this camp store, but, a regular old hardware store. I think they were just recently
like
honored.
Like Sears.
Sears
started that way. It was a hardware store. Rogue Sears.
Yeah, but
robot.
It was catalog stuff. Although, actually, when you go to the website, it shows old Hammacher Schlemmer catalogs. How they ended up being this is kind of weird. They were one of the first businesses on the internet in 1988. They were on CompuServe. And I've actually seen, websites talking about when CompuServe first opened up. It was literally built like little boxes. You would click on this and you'd go in there and you could shop for things. But it was a big fiasco. And then they were one of the founding members of SkyMall.
You know, yep,
the,
that's right.
Yeah, which, of course, SkyMall gifts are classic Hammacher Schlemmer slash gifts like this. So I always think of them now as Sharper Image. But Sharper Image is a much more recent invention. They were founded in the late 70s. It was all, I think originally they were like did watches or something like that, and then they branched into these other areas, and then they had all those retail stores. I don't know if you remember. I remember yep. Boston. People be online to get into the Sharper Image yep. store.
Well, can I just take you back before you talk further about Sharper Image? Hammacher Schlemmer, they were the first company to offer Americans such wonders as the pop-up toaster, mm-hmm. the electric toothbrush, and the telephone answering machine.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is they're a company, and I don't want to take it too far away from Sharper Image, but you know, Hammacher Schlemmer, most of us probably don't even know. We just go, this is another catalog with stuff in it.
Yeah.
But this is the wrong thing to say, but I think you know what I'm driving at. They're a legit retailer.
Yeah, well, they haven't gone under or anything like that.
No, and what I mean by that is, I mean, again, there are companies, and in I think our first episode, we started with the What on Earth catalog. Right. Hammacher Schlemmer seems to be the same thing, selling a lot of stuff that you go as junk.
Well, it's a step up from...
But it is a step up, but what I'm saying is it does appear that, I mean, they've been around, they've done stuff for the royal family in the UK. You talked about them being involved with CompuServe and SkyMall. I'm looking through here... there was something else that I marked up here. The British royal family have been regular visitors for years to the landmark New York store. Princess Grace of Monaco, the King and Queen of Spain have bought stuff there. They've been referenced in popular culture. Let me see. The aforementioned Family Guy. In a scene from Family Guy, Season 9, Episode 18, It's a Trap, a parody of The Return of the Jedi, Chris Griffin, disguised as Luke Skywalker, calls Hammacher Schlemmer to order a wall-sized crossword puzzle. So what I'm saying is, the fact that I think that I'd never heard of them, A, and B, had never really paid any attention to them, shouldn't undermine the fact these are some big boys in town.
Yeah.
These are almost, well, I talked about Sears Roebuck.
For 170 years, you know, I guess that you get some prominence. So Sharper Image, by contrast, went into Chapter 11 in 2008. They went into licensing of their name to things. Now they're back to being a catalog and website, but like the brand is. But, you know, it's one of those classic cases where somebody's trying to figure out how to squeeze dollars out of it. And Hammacher Schlemmer must have the formula.
All right. So. We're talking Hammacher Schlemmer. Hammacher Schlemmer. Mm-hmm. I have one gift left to give you. I've said for most of the special, I'm going to blow you away with this gift. Do you have anything else to give me?
Uh-huh.
You do?
You want to cover that first and come back to Hammacher Schlemmer?
Whatever you want to do, let's do it.
This
gift, I mean, there's no way you're going to be able to top this. There's no way. So I'm going live. I'm brave right, enough fine. To say that, so I'm going live.
So the next thing I was going to get for you was out of the Beretta catalog.
Yeah.
Beretta, first of all, who the heck knew, right? I didn't know that they had a catalog. I mean, obviously,
to be fair,
Beretta sells arms, you know.
Well, because I own a Beretta shotgun that I use for shooting sporting clips.
Right, and I didn't even thought of Beretta as making rifles. I thought of them as a handgun and the namesake of Beretta, the TV show.
Fair enough, yeah.
But... they have a catalog, and I don't know if this is new in terms of the clothing. You know, this is where, you know, they're segueing into a lifestyle brand. But, you know, in terms of, you want to have matching tops and bottoms, you mentioned last time. So we've got here the Upland light jacket, Upland pant, and the Cordura blaze cap, all in some very strange combination of blaze orange and khaki, which is, and the fella's got his shotgun over his shoulder. Yep. And... let's see, what do these things go for? Actually, you know, the Upland pants only $150, $115, and the light jacket is $199, I suppose, for shooting materials and bread. It's probably pretty hardy stuff, I suppose. But I do wonder, it is a little different in, like, so Orvis. Orvis was a fishing catalog, but now it's like a lifestyle brand.
Sure.
Like, you have stores,
well, I think
people go there,
point,
and they pay those kind of prices we were mentioning on other things for shirts and things like that. I'm sure that's where these guys are trying to go. I mean, it's notable that the catalog has a picture. One of the pictures of their clothes is this guy walking through what's clearly like a urban setting with train tracks. Well, this guy is not a hunter. I mean, he's some Brooklynite who makes pickles in his basement.
Well, here's the interesting thing. I've received the Beretta catalog.
Also looks like a little bit like a Nazi. But.
Well, I've received the Beretta catalog. As I said, I own a shotgun. I shoot sporting clays, shooting sports. I do all that type of stuff. I've received the Beretta catalog over the years, and everything in it is very clearly to do with going shooting. I bought a shooting vest from it because I had the right pockets for me to put my cartridges in. Mm-hmm. You know, do you want your gun cleaning kit, a cover for your gun, all this kind of stuff. But the catalog you're showing in front of me actually is very different from the... I've never received this one, but I have received the other one with, like, oh, yes, I need a new ding-me-ding for my watchamabob on my gun.
It has this section. Section with the gun items, but it doesn't sell any of them in here. It just basically says, go to our website.
That is a complete clothing catalog. I will say this about Beretta stuff. My mom is the one who got me into, my dear old mom's the one who got me into sporting clays and that, because she actually does that back in the United Kingdom. She actually owns a very nice Beretta jacket, mm-hmm. and she paid a couple hundred dollars for it, because I was with her when she bought it, because she bought it at the range one day. We have been, over the course of the last two shows, maybe critical is the wrong word, but we've probably sort of been slightly cynical about people getting into areas for the sake of Christmas.
Yeah.
The Beretta stuff, though, these are not guys who have just decided to get into clothing. It's really good stuff.
Yes.
Now, I don't know about those clothes, but her stuff is very well made. It's a top quality.
I'm just not sure of the mark. Like, listen, if I'm a real outdoorsy guy, I'm just going to buy some Dickies and be done with it. I don't really need the Beretta jacket with the hundred and some odd dollars. I feel like it is probably a more common segment for Europe and England for the shooting set to be the fancy pants clothes set,
whereas I think that is a true statement.
It's a different kind of
thing. Whereas here, people go hunting, and you're trying to do everything.
I'm not quite sure
where
their market is for that. Which, by the way, I got to take us another direction entirely, because I completely forgot about the gift I was going to get you from Hammacher Schlemmer.
Okay, hit me.
The live action infrared skeet shoot.
This
is the live action skeet game that challenges shooters to hit three flying targets using a harmless infrared gun. Only available for Hammacher Schlemmer, targets are ejected from the trap at predetermined intervals, reaching a height of 3 feet that allows for indoor use.
Oh, wow.
When you hit it with the infrared beam, it breaks in half. So, like, the little thing's got a little trigger in there. So, and that's only
$69. What do you do when you replace the clays?
No, they're not real clays. Like, they're two pieces. They're connected.
You just
put them back together.
Oh, okay.
And you shoot them up in the air off your table.
Oh,
and
that's
you
cool.
Break them up. I might get you this.
Yes, yeah, because we could have a whole show where we're firing our infrared thing.
Shorter interval, because you can set the time, require faster reloading, quote unquote, by pumping the gun,
yeah.
which responds with a realistic loading sound, blah, blah, blah.
I got to say, I think I'd be quite good at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite impressive. $70.
Yep.
Cheaper than a drone.
It actually looks kind of, you know, like a semi-real thing.
Do you plug it in, like the actual machine that fires it?
It says batteries. Trap requires 4C batteries. Gun requires 3 AAA batteries.
No, right.
Those are tiny batteries.
What we're not doing is charging.
I guess all you're shooting is an infrared thing. So it's like a remote, basically.
Yeah.
You're shooting a remote at the thing, and if it senses it, so we may have to get a hold of that.
Yeah, that would be good.
Ask somebody for it.
I would
maybe
like
not
that.
Too late.
And frankly, compared to the drone, where you get 7 minutes of action for a 3-hour charge, I'd much rather do that than have a drone and go.
Yeah, I had planned on getting you the Chewbacca sweater too,
that's okay.
We'll have to cover that. Let me just see before you try to blow my socks. Let me just see if
I'm
missed
blowing
anything.
Your socks off.
No, I think I got everything covered here.
All right, so the big gift, and I'm not going to tell how much it costs because you're going to guess. I found this again in the Hammacher Schlemmer catalog. And so we've just talked about some drones for $400.
J.J. Abrahams.
the Chewbacca robe in the same catalog.
Right.
So in this catalog, hidden away on page 6, next to the world's smallest quadcopter, which is $39, and right below the robotic pugilists, which are two robots for $60 that you have hand controls and you make the robots fight.
Are they the Rock'em Sock'em robots?
No, it just says robotic pugilists. But I guess it's the same thing.
It's different. The Rock'em Sock'em is like a little old 70s board
and
game.
Also next to the cordless lighted outdoor ornaments for $49 is this bad boy, tucked away on page 6. The 23-acre Wild West Town Amusement Park. And there is a picture of what looks like one of those old Wild West Town buildings. This is the fully operational town that pays homage to the Old West with 23 acres.
It's Westworld. They're selling Westworld.
Of 23 acres, so that's pretty sizable, of sarsaparilla and sagebrush brush-themed amusements. Built in northwestern Illinois in 1979, Donnelly's Wild West Town includes 14 buildings, two residences, offices, a warehouse, museum, restaurant, convention hall, and a commercial kitchen. Ideal for children between 3 and 11 years old, the park includes a working junior-sized steam locomotive that takes children for rides on its own railway.
Wait, are they selling the property or are they offering that you go there?
Well, it says at the bottom, and it's, you know, it's got more kinds of stuff, slingshot range, there's an area for pony rides, there's a daily cowboy show. It says the park's buildings, blah, 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 from which issue a host of rascals that perform a daily cowboy show, in brackets, live actors not included. It says special conditions and guarantee limitations apply. Please call 1-800-227-3528 for details. Now, I originally thought that that meant you'd take a trip there. Do you want to guess the price at, underneath this?
What's the location again?
Built in northwestern Illinois, 23 acres, Wild West Town Amusement Park. So it's an amusement park. Hidden away at the bottom of page 6, and I'm not quite sure what the catch is, but you have to call for further details, but there is a price at the bottom.
Say a nice round $1 million?
No, $7 million.
$7 million? Well, see, you
can get it. That's quite amazing to me. I found it. B, it's hidden away, so it's not on the back cover.
No.
Like Body Amusement. It's hidden. I can't decide, and without looking, without doing enough research on Hammacher Schlemmer,
to get a picture of that
page. I cannot decide if it's some sort of annual joke that they hide in there, but they will sell in their catalog, listed for sale, their Christmas edition, 23-acre Cowboy Town Replica Amusement Park for $7 million. All kinds of buildings, little railway. It is, as you say, Westworld for kids. You can get it for $7 million.
I like the fact special conditions and guarantee limitations apply. You know what they're basically saying is nothing here. It's not like a product that we can guarantee it actually works or anything.
But it
like
all
that
seems very random. And I'd love to know if someone's actually gone and bought that for Christmas. Maybe you need to look it up on your computer.
Donnelly's Wild West Town. I wonder if it's like,
I don't know, but it's all, again, it's in there. I found it by accident.
I appreciate it. Thank you for getting me.
But $7 million. I don't want to hear it. I don't want you complaining about it's got Eddie Bauer on it or any of this, that or the other. I don't want you to say that it's not in Christmas colors or that doesn't really fit me, but it is $7 million. And again, you have to call them a fully operational town that pays homage to the Old West. 23 acres. That's pretty sizable. Mm-hmm. That's how many city blocks is 23 acres? 6? 7?
Oh, I don't know offhand.
7 or 8 square blocks?
Mm-hmm.
It's a Wild West Town amusement park. So I wasn't clear enough. I thought it was just the Wild West
Town.
Pretty
decent reviews. I'm looking at their, it gets 4 out of 5 stars on Google. It only has like 37 reviews. What's weird is when you search for it, their website doesn't come up first.
There's a 12-person silver mine themed roller coaster. So it obviously is a place.
This is their website.
Yeah, there you go.
We didn't connect things in, so it's just playing off the ears. It's $140 for a season pass. No, family of four is $140 for a season pass for 2017.
Ooh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
104 people.
That's cheaper than there's the train.
Little, there's the little train going by. This is the real McCoy, but someone wants rid of it.
Well, I imagine it is not a moneymaker. I'm thinking like $7 million, you know, you got to return something on. You got to hire all these people and keep them staffed. It does
click on contact for a minute. Sorry, we're lost, as this show is often wont to do. We are lost surfing the web right now. Well, they're advertising the 2017 season
pass. Contact has brought me. Oh, gallery.
No, you hit the wrong one. It's a cheesy looking blog, I must say. Contact us. Did you love your visit? Have a question? Pick up the phone? Yeah.
Anything about selling it.
So anyway, it's here for sale in the Hammacher Schlemmer catalog, offering the best, the only, and the unexpected for 168 years. That's actually their tagline on the catalog. Well, I must say,
that is unexpected.
Completely unexpected that A, I would find it in there, and that B, I would find the money to get it to you for Christmas. Well, $7 million.
There's an article about the catalog selling it for $7 million.
What's that? When's that article?
It's from December 11th of this year.
Okay. Well, last year, depending when you're listening to the show, because this is our Christmas edition.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what? And
Larry Donnelly is 86 years old.
I wonder if he's involved with the company. Yeah, because it's Donnelly. And it says here, it says built in Northwestern Illinois in 1979. Donnelly's Wild West town includes 14 buildings. So it doesn't actually refer to Mr. Donnelly. It just says Donnelly's Wild West town. In the little ad without us having any reference to who Donnelly is when it starts. That's all pretty amazing.
Yeah. So they're basically saying park still makes money. A new owner might even want to reopen the restaurant and expand. I think they're clearly reserving the possibility that somebody might buy it not to keep it open. And they're basically saying, please buy it. We hope you keep it open. But if it's anywhere near, you know, an urban
so
area,
let me hit you up now. I'm going to throw you a question that you probably weren't ready for. You are a successful man with a highly rated podcast. If I bought for you for $7 million the Wild West town and gave you the title and said it's all yours, what would you do with it?
Oh, man. Does it really, if it really made money?
Would you keep it or would you just move it on? Or would you sell the land? Would you cash out? What would you do? I know what my answer would be. I know what my answer would be.
You'd have to, like, it's hard to say. Like, you have to, I need more, like, if it made money and enough money to, like, keep you fed and things like that, that'd be tempting little change of gears, wouldn't it?
I'd take a look at it. And if not, I'd look to turn it over for townhouses or maybe build a driving range or something.
Part, you'd be so vilified if you bought it. I mean, people come and, like, kill you probably because there's going to be a bunch of people who, like, love this thing. They grew up at it, you know, and they're going to come.
I'd be abused as a foreigner for not understanding the heritage of the Wild West.
Just like, what's his name? We're at Swansea now.
Yes.
Bradley getting beaten up for saying away game.
Or maybe I would invent some robots to work there.
All right. Well, I
for
think
seven we, million. There you go. I blew you away.
That beats it up. I mean, for some live action and for institutions. But to see the odds of you actually getting the things that I set up for you are probably better than me getting the $7 million.
Exactly. Yeah. So let me see. I think that was our Christmas show this year. Two parts. If you're catching this by accident, go back and listen to the first one.
Yep.
But yeah, we did Christmas catalogs, and now take a deep breath before thinking of what to come up for next year's Christmas show.
Yeah.
Obviously after Christmas we have the new year, so the next show up will be our resolution show.
Yeah,
we still have to get around to doing our Bill Murray conversation.
Yeah,
because soon he's
gonna be after our Seinfeld episode.
All right, because soon he's gonna be yesterday's news. And I actually put together clips for a Bill Murray playlist on YouTube. So, so there you go. We will try and post some pictures of stuff on the net.
Like, can we put it on Google Drive? Or I mean, I don't know if we could put it on the Yahoo. Because I wonder if you can just take the YouTube thing and make it into a slideshow of the different pictures
and
your sweater.
You're asking the wrong person. But these pictures will be appearing on some of the posts.
Yeah.
I guess Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
I guess.
Whenever you hear this.
Yes. Everybody have a good New Year. How about that?
But I think that's fine. This has been the Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric. Take care.
You've just enjoyed Eric and Zeph on the Atlantic Voice Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @Atlantic_voice. You can find the show at Libsyn.com, iTunes, and of course at AtlanticVoice.net. Email us at AtlanticVoice@gmail.com. And now on YouTube, search for The Atlantic Voice. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.